Our identity does not come from ethnicity, our heritage, our status. I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm educated, I'm not educated. It comes from Christ. We're Christians. We're new creations.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We're so glad you've tuned in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the New Testament epistle of James. As Pastor Bill continues his message from last time, we see this section has one obvious message. Our beliefs should control our behavior. Now let's join Pastor for part two of Beware of This Sad Sin.
Here's what we have to understand about the royal law, which is love. Does love hurt anyone? Does it? Does it harm anyone? Does love never fail? No, it never does. Love is no respecter of persons. See, the love that has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit that has been given to you, Romans 5:5. Listen, loved one, that kind of love that lives in you treats everyone the same. No one, everybody's the same. Don't you just want to love everybody? No, love everybody equally because God loves everybody equally. He doesn't love sin, of course not, but he loves everyone because God is love, amen? His love is unchanging. It never changes. It's unconditional love. God is love. That's who he is. And he says, now my love is living in you. I want you to treat everybody the way I treated you. Now you treat them the same way. And that is with love. That's called the golden rule, isn't it? Matthew 7:12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For this is the law and the prophets. It doesn't say to do unto others as they did to you. You punched me, I'm punching you. You run me off on 820, I'm coming after you. Let me ask you a question. If you love everyone, if you love your neighbor as yourself, and I'm not telling you to pick your neighbor. Oh, I like my neighborhood. No, that's not what it means. Does it mean that if you love your neighbor as yourself, does it mean your neighbor is going to love you? No, it's about us loving other people, expecting. See, agape expects nothing back. It just wants to love. You don't have to say thank you or anything. It's just, I want to love. I read a story one time. I think it was Chuck Swindoll. It's been so long ago, I can't remember. And if it's not, I'm sorry. But there was a fire in a neighborhood. And man, this home was on fire. And the Christian who lived in the neighborhood, he was, I guess, in the park with his kids or whatnot. He saw it was on fire. And he ran into the neighborhood and he stopped. There was people there. Said, oh, whose house is on fire? Whose house is on fire? They said, oh, it's your house. He goes, oh, thank God. I'm so glad it was my house and not your house. Man, do you see what I just said? That's powerful, isn't it? I'm so glad it happened to me and not you. You know why? He crawled into their skin and he loved his neighbor as himself. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, I believe it's that no one, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves has fulfilled the law. What law? The royal law, the great commandment, man, to love God with all of your heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The new commandment that Jesus gave us, the new commandment, John 13:34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you, to the same degree that I've loved you. You love one another. And then he tells us something. He tells us that how the whole world would recognize you belong to him. He says, by this, by loving one another, the whole world will know that you are my disciples. Amen? Everyone will know. And that's what we are to do. So if you keep the royal law of love, James says, man, you do well. Literally, you are excellent. He says, but if you show partiality, you sin. And then in the next verse, he tells us also, if you show partiality, you are breaking God's law. Look at it. Verse 9. But if you show partiality, look what it says. You commit what? We should remember that, loved one. And we're convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, you know what a transgressor is, right? You know you should love your neighbor as yourself, but you willfully step over the line of the revealed word of God, and you do it anyway, okay? You're a transgressor. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in just one point, he's guilty of all. Now, one point, thou shalt not lie. And you can say, okay, I've never lied, okay? But then you lie. One lie, and you never lie again. You're still a liar because you have lied. That's how powerful that is. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. You know, I really pondered this, and I said, James, why did the Holy Spirit move you to use this? Adultery and murder. Why didn't he say covetousness or something like that? The reason is that he's showing us how wicked the sin of partiality is, showing partiality. If you committed adultery under the old covenant or murder, what was the penalty? They stoned you to death. I believe that's why he used those there to show, man, about you don't want to be operating with favoritism and all of those things. So showing partiality, we find out, is sin. But the answer to that is the royal law of love. Listen to me now. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Tell me one person in any generation in history that God doesn't love. You can't. God is love. Amen? Tell me one person anywhere that's ever been born that God doesn't want to save. Does God want everybody saved? He wants everybody saved. Why? Christian love means this. The royal law, we're going to treat others the way God treated us. Either we are the new humanity, the new man, or we're not. It says in Colossians 3:10, put on the new man, that new creation in Christ, the new humanity, meaning the church, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Here it comes. Where there is, or literally, where there cannot be Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So what is he saying? The only thing matters, no matter what your national distinction might be, no matter where you come from, no matter what color you are, he says, if Christ is in you, you are in the family of God. Amen? And being in Christ is all that matters. Why? Because, see, if you're in Christ, are we all equal? Yes, think about that. We are all created equal in Christ. Does God love Pastor Marshall more than he loves me? Don't answer that. No. No. Do you understand? He loves you. He loves me. He loves all of you. He loves your immature Christians or mature Christians. He loves you. Why? Christ is in you. Now listen to me. Our identity does not come from ethnicity, our heritage, our status. I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm educated, I'm not educated. It comes from Christ. We're Christians. We're new creations. Man, listen, we are the church of the living God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have God's divine favor. Oh, listen, all barriers in Christ, they are destroyed. Let me give you another scripture. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither slave, there's no free, there's neither male, female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Man, we're all forgiven the same way. We're all saved the same way. We're all complete in Christ. Amen? Listen, each and every one, we're not only forgiven in Christ, we're hidden in Christ, it says. It says that we were buried with him, we were raised with him, we are ascended with him, we are seated with him in the heavenlies, where Christ reigns right now. Where he reigns right now, our position is we are seated with him. That's who we are. What does that mean? That means black people are there, white people are there, brown people. Are you following me? Asians are there, Jews. Do you understand? Oh, and you, man, I mean, thank God. Listen, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but listen to me now. And I say this with love. There's no judgment in my heart. There is no such thing as Asian Christianity. There is no such thing as white Christianity. There is no such thing as brown Mexican Christianity. There is no such thing as black Christianity. There is only Christianity. Do you understand? That's it. No, see, there's no cliques, and there are cliques today. Marshall, don't get mad at me. I'm going to say something. Now, listen, I don't have anything against cowboy church. Yeehaw, yeehaw, okay? But, I mean, you go to a cowboy church, you're cowboy. I don't know. They might not even have any cowgirls there. I don't know. I'm a cowboy. Yeah. We all went to the stock show together. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm happy about it. I got my May hands on my Justin's, and Jesus, he likes horses too. You know, he's coming on one, remember? Coming on back, yeah. There's nothing wrong. Listen, I don't care. But, I mean, can we have a, you know, maybe some sombreros in there too? Can I, you know, a little sombrero? Yep. Thank you, Lord. Do you understand? Yeah, I mean, you know, never mind. Oh, we like distinctions. We like prejudice. This is my group. I want to belong to, I'll tell you who I want to belong to. I want to belong to all the body of Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care what color you are. I love you. I want to love you. And I want to be with you in heaven. Amen. That's what it's all about. Loved one, listen to me now. There is only one Lord. There is only one church. There is only one body. Amen? There's not any else. And you got to understand that. See, listen, race and national distinctions, if you are in Christ, guess what happened? They vanish. They're gone. We are all one. We are family. We are citizens of heaven, and that's the way heaven's going to be with every tongue, every nationality, every color. What a glorious, wonderful place. But listen now. Now, James does something, and this is so important, that beware of the sin of showing partiality. Look what he does in verse 12. He says, so speak and so do, talking to Christians, as those who will be what? Judged. How? By the law of liberty, the law of freedom. Now, so speak, so do are imperatives, meaning they are commands. He's saying, okay, everything that you say, all of your action, everything that you do to anyone out there, it must be saturated with the royal law, which is love. See, we have this freedom. We've been set free. Amen? The law of liberty. But freedom doesn't mean, it doesn't mean the right to do what we please. Freedom means the power to do what we should and obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power that we have working in us right now. And to speak and to do, it says, with that love. It's one thing for any Christian to speak the truth in love, but it's another to love the one you're speaking truth to. Do you understand? No matter who they are. No, if they're not even saved, if they're cussing you, I don't want anything to do with this Christ that you say you love, that Satan, I don't believe in it, but you love them because why? Jesus died for them. There are only two people in the world, two, those that Jesus Christ lives in and those that Jesus Christ died for. There's not any other. Do you understand that? Oh, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Oh, listen, one day, loved one, listen. Look at it again. I want to make you heard verse 12. Look at it. It says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. That law that set us free from the law of sin and death and hell. Our sins have been paid for forever. Listen to me. I believe that love never fails. I believe it with all my heart. It lives in my heart. I say that not with any pride, but I know it's so real. I just want to love everybody. No matter what they've done to me, I just want to love them. Listen, the most important thing in life is to walk in love toward all people because Jesus did. Amen? But why? Listen to me now. Because one day we are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Do you understand that? We're going to give an account. Jesus knows your heart. He knows my heart. We're going to give an account of how we treated every person. Did we show partiality? Did we turn up our nose at that person? Oh, I don't want to be around you. Oh, look at that. What does Jesus tell us in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 2? Judge ye not. The word judge in Greek is krino. It means you become the judge, the jury, and the executioner. You pass sentence. Judge ye not, lest you be judged. For with the measure you measure out, it will be what? Measured right back to you. One day, maybe one day soon, we're going to stand before the one who loves us, who came for us, who saved us, who died for us, and will never leave us or forsake us. The Bible says this judgment that's going to happen at the Bema Seat of Christ. And if you read Romans 2:11 or on that right there in that area, it'll tell you he shows no partiality. God is no respecter of persons. But that's talking about the judgment. We're going to be judged. Every Christian is going to be judged, equally judged. Amen? Okay. Now listen, Paul writes 2 Corinthians 5:10. He says, for we must. That word means you can't get out of it. There's no escape. We must all appear at the judgment seat, the Bema seat, the place of rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That each one, it's not a universal judgment, loved one, it's each one. Each one's going to give an account. Each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Now, let's clear this up so you'll know. Are we going to be judged for our sins? No. Why? John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, amen? Our sins as far as east is from the west. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we know we're not going to be judged for our sins. And we know that we are not saved by works, but we are going to be judged for our works, amen? We know that we are. James is a book that says to the believer, it's time to grow up, time to get mature. If the sin of partiality, showing partiality, is in your life, he's saying, it's time to get out and clean it up. Why? Because it doesn't belong in the believer's heart, because it's not in the heart of God. And we're imitators of God again. Amen? Now, so look what he says in verse 13. For judgment is without what? Mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs or rejoices over judgment. In other words, the merciful life will triumph in the face of judgment, okay? It says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't twist this scripture to mean something it doesn't mean. It's not saying, James is not saying, you can earn mercy if you show mercy. That is not what he is saying at all, okay? He's saying this. He's saying, number one, to show no mercy at the judgment is to receive no mercy. Someone said it this way, judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now listen to me. Those who show no mercy now. Why is that? I mean, none. I mean, you could be laying in the street halfway dead, you know, and they just keep no mercy. Why? It's because they have never experienced in their heart God's mercy. They're not born again. Do you understand? Listen, it says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich, exhaustless, rich, unlimited, rich in mercy, because of his great love, his unchanging love, his unconditional love, it says, with which he loved us. We're the object of God's love. He says, even when we were dead in trespasses, spiritually dead, our physical life, yeah, we went through the activities of life, but we had no spiritual life. We were dead, and the filth and the sin of the world, we were filthy. Whether we liked it or not, we were. We were dead in trespasses, dead in sins. And he says, even when we were dead in trespass, God, what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mercy. Oh, mercy is a wonderful thing to show. When you go up to the woman in the grocery store, and there she is, and she's got a kid on her hip, and she's counting pennies, and she's in line, and you're behind her, and you know she's hurting. Yeah, but Bill, look, you know, I think she's a drug addict. Oh, well, you see? Huh? Come on. Yeah, but, you know, she's just living with this, you know. But, and you see she's short $10, and you just look at her, and you pull out that money and say, can I tell you that Jesus loves you? Jesus loves you. Did you show mercy? Yes. You know why you showed mercy? Because mercy lives in your heart, because God is his mercy endureth forever. And he is rich in mercy, and we are born from above. Oh, listen, Micah 6:8. Has God not told you, oh man, what is good? That to do justly, In other words, be fair with people and to love what? Mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. Jesus looks at that guy, wanted to know who his neighbor was, and said, well, so which of these three, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, well, he who showed mercy on him. And what did Jesus say to do? Go and do likewise. Loved one, listen to me. How can we as Christians even think of practicing partiality? Do you know that the Bible teaches, listen now, Ephesians 1:6, that we are accepted in the, God accepts us in the beloved, meaning his son. You know what that means? It means that God loves you exactly the same way that he loves Jesus, the spotless, sinless son of the living God. I don't know how that makes you feel, because when I think about, I mean, I can love Jesus, but I can't love me very well. Do you understand? When I look at my life, when I look at what I've done, when I look at when I've cussed or I did this or I did that, and I'm going, you mean he's accepted me? Yes. Listen, you cannot right now, right this minute, you cannot make yourself more acceptable to God than you are right this minute. This is your position and it's eternal. I say, oh God, man. And I think, how can we not accept one another? If he accepted me, if he accepted you, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're not perfect. And I go, Lord, I'm so glad you're not a respecter of persons. I'm so glad that day on the beach that you didn't look at me and say, well, there's Lou. Yeah, Bill, I know him. Look at him, kneeling down, doesn't know what he's doing. Was drunk last night, and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, he's still drinking. Got a case of beer in his truck, smoking a Marlboro cigarette or whatever it was. But he didn't pass me by. God shows no partiality. He's no respecter of persons. He didn't look on me and say, well, you're filthy. He said, yeah, you're filthy in sin. But he said, I'm going to clean you up, and he saved me. I'm so glad that he didn't pass me by. What I'm about to tell you, I pray you really get it. Write it down and you ponder it. God is no respecter of persons. You know what that means? It means that you can take anyone to Jesus. No. You can get it. You can take anyone, and he is not a respecter of persons. Do you understand that? In other words, anyone's a big, say that word, anyone. Anyone. I'm a drug dealer. Oh, you're an anyone. Come here. You don't understand. I've had 4 abortions. Oh, come, anyone, come here right now. I'm a racist. Oh, come. Come right now. I'm a homosexual. I'm a lesbian. I'm an adulterer. I'm an adulteress. Anyone, come. You come right. That's what he's saying. Anyone can come. You don't understand. I messed my body. I'm a transgender. Come. Come to him. Anyone. God is no respecter of persons. Listen to these scriptures, what Jesus said. John 7:30. If anyone, say that again. Anyone on this planet, no matter what color you are, no matter where you live, he says, the King of Kings, he says, if anyone thirst, are you thirsty? Anyone, come to me and drink. In John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the only door in this life. Man, if you walk through this door, if you come through me, if anyone, he says, anyone, no matter what you've done, no matter what color you are, no matter who you are, anyone, if anyone enters by me, you're going to be saved. Man, Jesus said in John 10:28, Jesus said, listen, I'll give you eternal life. He says, and you'll never perish. And once you come to me, you know what Jesus said? He says, anyone, when anyone comes to me, neither shall anyone snatch you out of my hand.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill continues his study of James with the message titled, What is Real Faith? And we hope to see you once again. At this time, I'd like to take a moment to personally invite you to join us here at Calvary Chapel this Sunday as we come together to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to be a joyous time of fellowship, music, and a special message from Pastor Bill. We hope you won't miss this opportunity. Amen. Be blessed this weekend. And so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.